So yesterday I had jury duty, so I was called to attend the court, and from the 90, maybe 100 of us, they would have chosen 12 people to be on a jury. So there were three cases yesterday morning, so all 90 of us were waiting in a separate courtroom, and then depending on how the cases went, they may have had to form a jury. So then from that jury, then the barristers can have a look at the names are chosen at random, and then the barristers can decide, well, we want more men, we want more women, we want younger, we want older. They're allowed to choose up to 7 according to the demographic they feel will work better for their case. Point being, so we all had to wait around. So we're waiting there for quite some time, for about 2 hours. We arrived at about 10. And so we got talking to the people around me, because, you know, most of us, it was our first time, so we were just, you know, working out how this thing plays out and how it's supposed to go. While I was there, I called a friend of mine, and it was office work related. So I was talking to him about a certain thing that's going on here, and then in that moment the judge came out. So I said, "Hey, look, I have to go. I'm in court at the moment. I'll call you back." And then I hung up and thought, I probably shouldn't have phrased it that way. Okay, so the judge came out and just said that for the moment, someone has pleaded guilty, so there's no jury required, and the other cases, they're relying on witnesses, so basically we're not required today, we're free to go. So in the car on the way back, I called back that friend of mine saying, sorry, I cut you off there earlier. He said, yeah, what are you in court for? And I said, no, I'm just on jury duty, actually. He said, oh, I better make a few phone calls, so... And I said, why? What'd you do? He said, well, I just told a couple of friends you were in court. I said, really? What do people think I was in court for? Oh, speeding. Everyone thought you were in court for speeding. I said, what do people think of me? Anyway, but that's slightly beside the point. While we were waiting to be decided whether we would be on jury or in the jury or not, there was one lady. It's very, very interesting, the people you meet, you know, and how God reveals himself, or there are missionary opportunities, or all those kind of things in people. So there was one lady beside me, and she ran a modeling school. So she offered me a job. Joking. She totally didn't. So she had a modeling school, and she explained how that all works, and I said, right, great. And then there was another guy who was about my age, a nice guy, had travelled around a bit. Obviously, people are a bit interested when they see the colour, well, a bit... funny reactions, kind of a bit standoffish but interested at the same time. So the onus is definitely on me to approach them with super big smiles and all of that. And we got talking about how he just the usual kind of awkward question, you know, where are you based, says he to me. And I said, I'm near Kilsheelan, but belong to a religious community, lived over in Rome. And then once we had a Roman connection, then he spoke about the fact that he was in Italy, and then he had travelled to different places. He also spent some time in Nepal, and done some trekking there. And so we got talking then about trekking and hiking and all this kind of stuff, and the culture over there. And he said he was just shocked at how difficult a life they have there. Obviously, it's rugged terrain, very mountainous. Well, the places he saw, obviously, it's all, you know, Sherpas dealing with tourists, bringing all their equipment up and down mountains. Very risky, very dangerous, very tiring, not very well paid, but he said the system there isn't honest. The system isn't honest. Like, so when the government isn't honest, then people don't feel the desire to pay their taxes, because they're just going to go into the pockets of the rich and famous anyway. He said there was a system there that international aid groups decided to give a fuel reduction to people below a certain poverty line. So if those who were considered the poorer class got 20% off their fuel. But he said what happened then was the richer class got IDs saying that they were poor. They buy all the fuel and sell it back to the poor people at the normal rate or slightly higher. So he said, like, when you've got a system that doesn't work, when you've got a system that isn't honest, it creates dishonesty. And again, this wasn't a homily. This was him talking. This was conversation. Then the other lady interjected, and I just had this one thought, which I said I must share. I said, like, that's where Christianity comes into play. You see, he was talking about the caste system which they have over there. And so in Hinduism, where there are four classes of people, and sometimes considered a fifth as well, but there are people are in their class, and that's it. There's no changing, but also you don't want to interfere with karma. So if a person has been afflicted with some illness or ailment, you don't want to interfere with karma. They're obviously being punished for something bad that they did. So that's why there aren't, you know, Hindu hospitals. There are Christian hospitals all over the place because our worldview is different. So this is all going on in my head. And I said, I must share this. But I didn't. I didn't. I said, I was holding on to the thought, and then the conversation went somewhere else. And I thought, this is my kind of entrance now as a priest to talk about how Christianity, how our worldview, how this has something to offer. Because we in the Western world, we kind of presume everyone thinks like us. We presume that our way of seeing the world is how everyone sees the world. It absolutely is not. We believe generally speaking, people think that everyone has equal value. For us, that's fairly obvious. That's not common out there. In different world religions, everyone is not of the same value. Absolutely not. There are degrees. There's hierarchy doesn't mean people have less value. That just means they have different roles. But the intrinsic value of each person, we believe that all are equal. Honestly, all, again, with distinctions within that, like, you know, there are men and women, but we're all equal in dignity. We have different roles, but equal in dignity. And this worldview affects how we live. It affects how we treat each other. It affects our politics. It affects social welfare systems and healthcare, because everyone is equal. So healthcare isn't just for the rich. Education isn't just for the rich. It's for all people. So this is a Christian worldview. Christian. Specific to us. So again, this is all going on in my head, and none of it came out. And I was reminded of that today when I just read this, our first reading. The Holy Spirit said, I want Barnabas and Saul set apart for the work for which I've called them. I just, the way it's written there in the Acts of the Apostles, it's like he was a physical person there and just said, yeah, Barnabas and Paul there, I want the two of them set aside for the work that I have ordained for them. Like these apostles, they listened to the Holy Spirit as if he was a living, breathing person. They had this intuition, or it's more than an intuition, inspiration, this openness to God's word. So much so that they write it down so blasé. You know, the Holy Spirit said, there's nothing about, you know, they prayed for hours or days and sacrifices, and then the Holy Spirit reveals to a group of them somehow. It's said so bluntly, as if it's the most normal thing in the world. Oh yeah, by the way, the Holy Spirit said he wants Barnabas and Paul set aside. Just so. And they're not being flippant the way they write it. It's just the reason they write it like that is because it was so normal for them to be guided and led by the Holy Spirit. If that's what the Spirit is saying to me, good, that's what we do. Do I do that? Do I? When I have those opportunities, those moments, those occasions where the Holy Spirit is saying in you to act, or not act, because sometimes he might actually be telling you. I know there are some people as well who are a little too enthusiastic when it comes to mission, you know. And they say, you don't go to Mass. Oh, no, I don't go to Mass now. You should. Ginny, you have to go to Mass. If you don't go to Mass, you go to hell. You go to hell if you don't go to Mass. Would you slow down, mate? Okay, not very effective mission. That wasn't from the Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, right? Because now you've just annoyed him. Now he thinks all Catholics are judgmental bigots. So no, not effective mission. That wasn't from the Holy Spirit. That was from a place of judgmentality, dare I say, even arrogance or pride. Love them back into the church. Don't accuse them back into the church. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, like, working within us, so he can inspire us to talk or not talk. He can give us, he'll give us the words, or he'll give us the grace to react in the way that we need to. Because at times, as missionaries, what we might have to do is you have to absorb a couple of punches as well, you know, where people look at you and, oh, you're one of them Catholics, are you? Gee, you're a judgmental kind of bunch, aren't you? You know, like, and then, you know, you have to kind of, you know, well, what makes you think that? You know, rather than fighting fire with fire, to fight fire with love and listen. You know, so what's the Holy Spirit doing within us? Do we react according? Do I follow it? Or do I believe that the Holy Spirit only acts in certain people, holy people, other people, but not me? Because if I do, I auto-exclude myself from mission, from that kind of inspiration. Now, we always have to be careful as well, trying to balance our inspiration. We have to be careful then that this doesn't lead us to a kind of pride where I give divine authority to whatever I think. You know, so James, I was just praying about it there, and I feel that, you know, you should give me your car, you know. But if I was praying about it and God said it, and it's effectively God who said, I mean, I'm just, you know, but if he wants to give it to me, I mean, who am I to interfere with God's will, you know? So, I mean, I would be careful of, because that can happen to people as well, where they said, I was praying about something and I feel, and then what they feel suddenly has now divine authority, you know? So that's, we should be careful of that kind of thing as well. I might be absolutely convinced it's what the Lord wants, okay. But then, you know, pray about it, spiritual director, other people of prayer. Just be careful, because it can happen then that it becomes a subtle way of actually manipulating people, you know. So we have to be careful of that. It does happen in prayer circles where, you know, if in a prayer group, if one person says, you know, I prayed about it and I feel we should. Now everyone else thinks, well, how do you contest that without saying, I think God is wrong, you know? So that's why discernment has to be done carefully, and if it involves a group, it should be done within a group. But, okay, so that's the other extreme. The lesser extreme then is that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us at all. So either he doesn't speak to us at all, or whatever I say or want happens to be what the Holy Spirit has inspired. Okay, well, that's wrong as well. So these are the two extremes we want to avoid. So let's get back to the middle, where in my daily life, if I follow the Holy Spirit in the small things, then he can trust me to do the big things. He can trust me with greater revelations. For example, if I don't turn up for prayer, if I don't make any time for personal prayer, then it's going to be hard for the Holy Spirit to trust me with more, because I've had a certain amount of time which I didn't use for prayer, or I didn't use to serve, or I use all of my available time during the day for me. You know, I wanted to do this. I wanted to go for a walk. I wanted to rest. I wanted to whatever. I wanted to do all these things for me, and I did them. And there's a whole, you know, community or family or whatever it may be, wherever we work, and I didn't consider their needs at all. I took care of my own. I took care of myself. Okay. But if my day revolves around me fulfilling my desires, then where's the room for the Holy Spirit? So if I'm faithful to the Holy Spirit in the small things, Lord, what do you want me to do now? If you want me to go for a run, great. If you want me to talk to a certain person, great. Want me to pray for them? Fantastic. You want me to forgive? Well, then I better go to the chapel, because I don't feel like forgiving them. You know, so, but like, it's that kind of being guided by the Holy Spirit in the small things. And those things will also cost our will. That's another indication that it's more likely to be from the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit always confirms exactly what I wanted anyway, unfortunately, you're probably not listening to the Holy Spirit. You're probably just listening to your own will, you know. So if I would like something, then I pray about it, and the Holy Spirit seems to confirm that. Okay, it might be the case. But if it's always the case, that the Holy Spirit always confirms exactly what I want, I would very much question that person's discernment. Because at times the Holy Spirit will ask you to do something you do not fully understand. Read the scriptures. You know, everyone from think of Noah, you think of Abraham, think of our Blessed Lady, right? They are asked to do things they don't fully understand at the time. Think of the apostles, you think of, you know, even like Jesus asked by the Father to do this thing which he knows is going to be hard and wants this cup to pass from him. So if the Holy Spirit always confirms exactly what I wanted anyway, I'd be concerned that that's not good discernment. So the Holy Spirit will on occasion ask you to do things that make you feel uncomfortable, to use today's such a popular word. Makes you feel uncomfortable, which means that fuzziness that you normally feel isn't there anymore. Okay? So at times you might have to do something that's a bit difficult, that's against your will. And that's a good sign that this might actually be from the Holy Spirit. And then learning to live that life in the Spirit where he guides my actions and my thoughts, the more I respond to that, the more he can trust me with more, the more good I can do, the more I feel less in control, but still trustingly, I'm not out of control. I feel less in control, but I'm not out of control. I've handed control over. So now it's the Lord is guiding me, and I'm okay with that. I'm not really sure where we're going, but I'm okay. I'm not a nervous wreck because I don't know what the future holds. I'm walking in faith, not by sight. So the Holy Spirit wishes to speak to us. He absolutely does. In the ordinary conversations of every day, and maybe like myself, you miss some occasions. Maybe there are some opportunities which come up that, you know, I really should say this, and then the conversation ends and you haven't said it. Okay. Try again next time. Who is the Lord putting in your path today? Or like I just woke up today thinking, I must pray for that guy. I don't even know his name. I must pray for him. And because he's a good guy. Definitely he wants to do good. He wants to make a difference. So maybe that's how I can respond to the Holy Spirit today, by praying for him. I miss my opportunity to testify to what the Lord has given us, but maybe I can do it in another way. The Holy Spirit wishes to use you and wishes to use you today. And he uses us before he uses us in an external way. He forms us by asking for fidelity in the ordinary things. The ordinary inspirations, the little inspirations. So the more we ask his guidance, the more we're formed to listen and to react to what he gives us. So we ask the Lord today to help us to recognize the voice of his Spirit. The Holy Spirit who speaks to us daily. The Holy Spirit who wishes to guide us, to console us, to inspire us, to encourage us to talk, to encourage us to be silent, to encourage us to engage in conversation, to encourage us maybe to avoid certain people who aren't a good influence on us. The Holy Spirit wishes to guide you and wishes to guide you back to the heart of the Father. May we listen to his inspirations today and always and respond to him as our Blessed Lady did. Behold, the servant of the Lord, may it be done unto me as you have said.